Meditation. So there are lots of different types of meditation. Meditation is silencing the mind, and objects are used, divine objects are used. One of those is japa, or repetition of mantra from the yoga tradition, the ancient tradition. So we're going to practice that together. We'll chant in order to quiet the mind. This is a peace mantra. A few of us at the workshop practiced this a little bit earlier. But it is meditative practice, so best that your feet are flat on the floor and your back straight up. Your eyes are gently closed. You can set an intent in an offering that whatever that you do of benefit provides benefit to all, and that all may know peace. And we'll chant together. Just listen first, and it'll come very quickly, and join in. Give it your heart and your best intention. Om Namo Narayanaya. 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 Now keep your eyes gently closed and just take a minute to observe within and just be aware of whatever you experience inside. And now you can open your eyes gently. And if you'd like, you can offer any beneficial experience. You can offer it up for the benefit of all or for the benefit of the divine. Yes? Okay. So in the tradition I'm given, I would say Om Namah Shivaya or Namaste. So that's seeing, recognizing the light in you and bowing, prostrating to that light. It's a joy to be with you today. Such a joy. So faith is the discussion I'd like to offer. Faith. Faith. What is faith? And how is faith acquired? And where does faith exist? And what is faith? I used to be full of ideas on the subject, actually any subject. If you'd ask me, I'd know about it or I could find out about it. Still the case, Google Swami knows a lot. Me, not so much. Not so much. But I have faith, and it wasn't easily acquired, but through grace it came. we throw the word around in society today all the time. Just have faith. Just have faith, right? We talk about, oh, just believe. Just, I'm really suffering now. Just believe that you'll be well and it'll be fine. Believe in God. Believe in God and all will be fine. We know that God is here right now. We know it. We know it. So the teaching would be, have faith in it. That's what we'll hear. And then something happens. Something happens. Something gets in the way. The faith is constantly challenged, right? And so what the teachers will share with us on this concept of faith, and I was just one of my teachers, Swami Shivananda. Swami Shivananda is a great yogi of the 20th century. He never came to the U.S., but he sent many, many teachers to the West to bring this teaching of yoga to the West. One of them, Swami Vishnu Devananda, who came in 1957. And that was really the exposure to me of the teaching of yoga and this pilgrimage of faith. You see, I always had faith in myself. But I found that whatever I tried to do, even though I was generally successful, it never gave me the desired result, which was to be happy. And I kept following my ideas of what would make me happy time after time again, and finally I lost faith in myself. And it was at that point that I began to understand just the beginning of understanding of what really is faith and what is it that we have faith in. You see, I'd had the idea that when I was successful, I would be happy. And I had a lot of ideas about what success was. And I shared a little bit of this at the workshop this afternoon. And each of us will have different ideas of what is success. For me, I was very interested in technology and became very interested in business. And I became very interested in having fun and very interested in having money. Because I saw money and fun as being the same. And I saw a lot of evidence of that because it looked like a lot of fun to have a boat, but a boat cost money. This was when I was very young, you see. When I was very young. My father had a boat. We used to go fishing. We came to Michigan. I had grown up in Indiana. And we went to Coldwater Lake, if anybody has heard of Coldwater Lake. And we would go there every year for a week's vacation. My father was really the first experience that I ever had of God because my father was so kind and patient and loving, and I never really understood it. I never understood how he could have the patience that he had. I never understood how he could be patient in me and so forgiving of me. I never got it, not for a long time. So we would come, and we had a small boat. We didn't have much money. And it seemed like my life was a drudgery because I didn't like school, but I had to go to school every day. But I liked fishing. I liked playing euchre. Later, that's a Midwest game, isn't it? If you say euchre in California, no one will know what you're talking about. But I like playing euchre. And for the 1 week a year that we went on vacation in Coldwater, I was happy. Very simple life. But I didn't feel happy other than that. I went to church regularly. I went to church every Sunday. And we, at one point, went to Methodist church and at one point went to Presbyterian church. I didn't notice, by the way, that I was any happier one versus the other. Just to share. Although my parents thought we would be for some reason. And I longed for that week of vacation every year. It became so important to me, vacation, because I always equated vacation with happiness. And as I grew and I realized that I'm different, and of course we come to realize that this is different for each of us, right? Different colors, different shapes, different sizes, different. And because we're so identified with the differences instead of the union, instead of the commonality, it hurt so much when kids would make fun of me because of my differences. But invariably that happened in school, and I began to look forward so much to the family vacation, to that 1 week a year. And I realized, and I realized standing here now, that that was one of the single joys in my life at that time, was the longing for and the looking forward to, and then the experience of that. And then, of course, as the week closed, the thoughts about next year's vacation, as those would begin to replace it. And as I grew, my life really developed in that way. And that is, I had experiences that were pleasant and I had experiences that were painful. And I did my best to follow the ones that were pleasant and avoid the ones that were painful. And so the character develops, right? This is the same with all of us. And there was a point at which the character that had developed was so bound to the pursuit of pleasures and avoidance of pain that I didn't know myself anymore. It's okay. Again, this is universal. I forgot that all I wanted was to be happy, you see. I forgot that it was the simple life that made me happy. Right? I forgot all of that. I forgot that I was a child of God. At some point when I was young, I had that idea, that ideal. But the more I progressed in what we call life, the more I forgot and became very forgetful about that. And people would talk to me about having faith, try to cultivate me in the church or in the, in fact, I went to a college prep, a Jesuit college prep. And some of the teachers there were very interested in perhaps me following that that path. But I had no time for it because I needed to go be happy. I needed to pursue the worldly life. I needed to follow my ideas, my thoughts. And they'd been quite conditioned about what would give me what I sought and what I should avoid in order to not disturb. And I followed that until a crisis, which was really, I'll say, a crisis of faith. And that is, you know, what I had was I had faith in myself. And when we, and what I'll share with you is when we talk about faith, the common use of the word faith is that, in my own idea, my own picture, my own idea of who is God, that's God right there on the cross. That's my idea, right? So that's my idea, and anyone who doesn't like it or disagrees with it is wrong. I have faith in that. I place my faith in that. And then what happens? We're tested, right? We're tested. And always when we have faith in our own limited ideas, our own limited beliefs, our own island, if you will, we're tested and we fail the test. And this was my experience, is I came to the crisis and the understanding that everything that I had believed about what I needed or the way I needed to live my life in order to be happy, that everything was wrong. Everything. And that was the great breakthrough, by the way. Because it was in that moment that I realized, I don't know. And I'm going to tell you, that's the first step of the real faith. I realized, I don't know. And I realized, I'll never know. I can't know. What is this world about? What is the purpose of this world? Where is God? I can't know this. But if I surrender myself, then I can find peace and I can find God and be with God. It's a great mystery, you see. It's a great mystery. So this crisis of faith for me was coming to the conclusion, the understanding that I would never know. Not me as a separate individual. And there was a moment where I realized that all I wanted was to be happy. And as long as I continued to follow people that were unhappy, I would never be able to be. Does that make sense? That I had to find someone who was happy themselves. I know, it seems like rocket science, but this spirituality is really simple stuff. Truly it is. I needed to find someone who knew God because I came to the understanding only through grace that the happiness I sought would come only when I was free of myself. When I was free of my fear, my anger, my hatred, my greed, all of the ideas of what I needed in my life, all of the ideas of what I didn't need in my life, when I was free of the judgment of all of the people that are doing the wrong things or the right things, I came to understand that only when I was at peace could I ever be happy. And I'd had some moments of experiencing it, and through grace, yoga had come into my life, and I dived very deeply into the philosophy and teaching. I went off to India, and I learned some things. First of all, I learned that I didn't know. I didn't know anything. I've maintained that knowledge to this day. It allows me to be humble and to listen. God's sakes, I was so full. How do you listen when you're full of yourself? And you turn it around and you consider, what do I want more than anything? I want to be heard. Well, who's there to listen? God alone. Because none of us caught up in ourselves are able to listen. And I was right there. So I learned some things. I learned to be quiet. I learned to be respectful. I learned to prostrate. My God, that was so hard. You know, I'd been in business and very successful. I had become, over the years, president of a billion-dollar high-tech company. We had 1,000 employees that were reporting to me. I traveled the world. One would have thought I had plenty of money, but I was not the one to ever think that, because for me, there was always more that I needed. But I'd had all of that and was so full, and come to realize that none of that will serve. At some point, this eye of the needle quote from Jesus Christ resonated. You know the one I mean, I think. The wealthy person. All right. So I learned to prostrate, and it was so hard because I was so proud of myself. You know what prostrate is? All right, on the ground to the teacher. Now the mind will object to that constantly. It'll object to that because who are they? That's just another human being. They're just like me. Why prostrate to a cross? Prostrate to a symbol of the divine? What's up with that? It's just a hunk of clay. But what I was doing in learning that was to learn not to put myself first anymore. right? To learn to surrender to whatever. In fact, one of my teachers in India, a beautiful soul, Swami Premanandaji, it's like Santa Claus, such an embodiment of love. And we talked about prostration and why it is that we do it. And he asked this beautiful question. He said, can you learn from another human being? And the answer, of course, is yes. If you listen, you can learn. Can you learn from a baby? Can you learn from a baby? Yes. Can you learn from a tree? Yes. So in the Eastern traditions, knowledge is described as a flow or wisdom. So first I have to empty myself of that which is not knowledge. And then I have to prepare myself, which means that I have to surrender. And there's actually physically placing the source below the feet of the source of knowledge or the source of wisdom. Right? So I learned to prostrate. I learned to meditate. I learned yoga asana practices. I sat in class for a year and a half and kept asking questions until I had no more about very scientific mind. And I was with a teacher who also had a good understanding of science and was teaching from a text which is very scientific. And I had so many questions about what is the world and what is God and what is all of this. But I'd come there knowing that I didn't know. So they were real questions, you know. They weren't like normally the questions we ask. Normally we only ask a question to show how much we know, right? Yes? So, I mean, that's what I'd learned. That's why you ask the question. Because we have this grain of self-doubt inside, and that self-doubt is so strong, so I have to prove myself, right? I have to prove myself. How do I prove myself? I prove with my hands, with my feet. I run fast. I talk fast. I prove with my mind, and that's the greatest tool, is to prove how intelligent I am, how smart I am, how adaptable I am. And so, I came knowing that I didn't know, and I asked questions, and what I heard astounded me, just astounded me. And I heard the wisdom teaching in a different way. I heard it apply to me personally, and I heard that it is as if there are two of me, that there is a small self-centered self, and that there is a God-centered self in the center of us, and that our path is from this self-centered self to the God-centered self. It's from the ego self, or low mind, to the high mind, or the real self, or the truth, or the absolute. And I saw that. I'd surrendered to the absolute before I went to India. Coming to know that I didn't know anything. And there was a day that I realized, wait a second, God, you're real. Not only are you real, but you are all that's here. I shared the words. The words that came were, I'll change it a little bit, son of a gun, this is all God. That realization came one day. And changed the perspective completely. And so I surrendered that day, and I fell on my knees, and I said, I don't want to live life this way anymore. I want to know you, and I want to serve you. And I was given the path to help to do that. And that was the travel to India. After I'd been there a year and a half, the idea of walking across the country came. And so that photo you see, that's from the second year, 2015. And that would have been when I was walking through Michigan. I was walking from Toledo, Ohio, to Monroe, Michigan, if anyone knows where that is. And there's an IHM convent there. And I was on my way to see the sisters that day, the day that that photograph was taken. You see, I didn't like to walk. I still don't. Not really. I have no desire to walk. I have no interest in walking. But I'd committed myself to service. And I don't know, I didn't understand why, but God kept telling me, walk across the country. And I had these long conversations. Why? What is the purpose of that? Why do you want me to walk across the country? And I was exploring how to do it, because the first thoughts that come, and dear, you asked this beautiful question earlier, how am I going to take care of myself while I'm doing it? Right? Here, I've come to India, I'm in the ashram, I'm in the monastery, God's taking care of me, God gave me a teacher, God's here in the form of the teacher, I love it here, I don't ever want to leave, I had a 10-year visa, I didn't want to go. And yet, now I'm supposed to walk across the country, and by the way, in meditation, in the silence, this would come every day, for weeks, this idea of walking across the country. And I'm arguing with God, and then I realize, but wait a second, I have to figure out how to do it. So I'm Googling, from India, walk across the country, and I'm seeing how people do it. And everybody carries so much stuff, like 300 pounds of gear, push cart, pull cart, days of water, because you walk through the desert. I walked through the desert, it was 3 months, so I know it. Or shelter, a tent, sleeping bag, food, clothing, changes of clothing, all of this. And I'm searching, and I'd never heard of Peace Pilgrim. How many people have? Yeah. And the example of, and here's, you know, we think we know the world. This is how much I knew. I was here at the same time as Peace Pilgrim was. I never met her. I never knew about her. I'm off doing my business thing, and here she is, walking 27 years in the cause of peace. You know what she carried? A comb, a toothbrush, and a pen, and she asked for nothing. She carried faith, real faith. That boggled my mind. That boggled my mind. I had the beginning of some understanding of what is faith. And then this example was given to me of faith. That is absolute faith. Absolute faith. And she'll tell the story. And she told it so many times. She said, I walk until I'm offered shelter. I fast until I'm offered food. And it's always offered. Aren't people amazing? And really, aren't people amazing? And so I knew that that's what I was to do, but I didn't have the faith for it. I didn't, but I had a little faith. And I'm going to share, this is where we start these walks of faith. I had a little. What did I have faith in? I had faith that I didn't know. That was great. Because I could afford to listen. I could afford to observe. I had faith that the teaching that was being shared with me through God's grace was real and substantial because of the peace that I experienced when I followed it. And this is what we all do here on Sunday. We come together in these practices, the singing and the talks, this is what we get here, right? So I had that faith, and I was getting it every day, living it. And I had faith that God was real. What hadn't been dealt with yet was the subconscious, the fear, the anger, the greed, the lower self. But I started to walk, and I committed myself to service and to learn how to serve in whatever opportunities were provided to me, and the opportunities came in the form of deer that needed to cross the road, or turtles that needed to cross, or people that needed someone to listen to them, or a cloud that came that needed to hear how beautiful it was, or a tree that offered itself to a loving touch, or a footstep, an opportunity to embrace the ground as I stepped, or a prayer for peace, the opportunity to pray for peace for all, the opportunity to uplift my thoughts and think beneficial and kind thoughts instead of the CRAP that I used to think and used to associate myself with. So the opportunity to shift and change my own thoughts. I discovered that, and I came to live for that and to live in that way. That was the commitment finally that I made to the Lord, is to take each one of those opportunities and do my best with it. And I'll draw that back to faith. What I discovered, first I heard the voice of God start to speak inside. You know, the first day I walked was in India, and I shared the last day that I walked with Mary, and I'll just share both, and in between is amazing. But the first day that I had started to walk, I knew I was to prepare. I knew it was going to be a walk in faith. I knew I didn't have enough faith yet to do it. So I put together my list of then what things am I going to carry. So I had a bottle of water and I had a sleeping bag. I had a 5-pound backpack, so not 300 pounds, but I couldn't pat myself on the back because I always felt it was too much. And I was always motivated to let go of whatever I could. The day that I started, I told you I hated to walk. I didn't say it that way, but I really did. And the reason is because I experienced so much pain when I walked. Whenever I would walk, I would get a pain right here. The reason was because I'd fallen a few times when I was young when I walked. And so I had that tendency in the subconscious. And so every time I walked, I'd keep my eyes right ahead of me. And I got to tell you, if you walk a mile or two like this, you'll have a pain right here. And that was my experience with walking, was that. And this day, I was called to walk in the mountains. And I didn't know. I ended up walking all day. All day, all night. And I had been going for about a mile, and I'm walking in the mountains. It's so beautiful, but I'm not seeing it because I'm just looking at what's in front of me. And this voice came, and the voice said, "Lift up your eyes and trust me." Just like that. And it was so crystal clear, so pure and direct. And I said, "Okay. I will." And I did. And I don't know if anyone's ever walked in India, but there's so much junk on the roads. There are pieces of wood, there are rocks, there's cow pies everywhere because the cows roam the roads. And I lifted up my eyes and I saw mountains and I saw trees and I saw the sky. It was the most amazing sight. I'd never seen that while walking, never. And in my peripheral vision, I saw that the objects that were on the road fell in between the footfall. And I had this example of Peace Pilgrim and never asking for anything, and so I did it. I had Jesus teaching, "Worry not for the morrow, let the morrow worry for itself." So even though I couldn't quite get to her level, I got to that. I carried a little bit of food, a little bit of water, with the idea I'd keep letting go. And I focused on service, and the experience was, every step I took, whenever I was able to invest in service, the fear would fall away. And that miraculously, mysteriously, I mean, here I am 2.5 years later, without ever asking, water was always provided, shelter was always provided, shelter from the storms was always provided. Sometimes I would sleep outside, sometimes I'd walk through the night, but I observed this amazing world and I saw you for who you really are, everywhere. And the kindness, I ended up experiencing two different worlds. I experienced the world of before faith, when I had faith in my limited self and the effect of that. And then as faith began to come, I experienced an entirely new world. And this new world is bright and glowing, and kindness is in the heart of all, even in the hearts of the trees and the turtles. And anything we give love to gives love back. Anything we create safe space for creates safe space for us. And finally, if we create safe space for the world creates safe space for us. That's what I observed. I could share a lot of detail, a lot of stories. I can't today, but it's there. The last day that I walked, you know, when I'd walked across the country, I thought that would be it, because God only told me to walk across the country. She didn't say, "Keep on going." But what do you do when you're done? No one came and said, "Stop." It was really that simple. And by then I had some faith, because I was ready to walk without carrying a water bottle or a sleeping bag or any of that. In fact, I'd given up most of it by the time I reached New Jersey, which was the first coast-to-coast walk. And so 2015, when I walked through Michigan, You don't see any water bottle, you don't see any backpack, you don't see any... Finally, the faith was there. Finally, the understanding that I don't know, but God knows. And that's fine. I can trust that. And the mind finally quieted. So I'll share this, that really, I called this Pilgrimage for Peace. Peace Pilgrim called it Pilgrimage for Peace. So it's an offering of peace, offering of kindness, whatever I was able to offer. And I'll tell you, we're all on the same. We're not here to get, we're here to give. The only way we can get what we want is by giving what we want. We want unconditional love, so the only way to receive it is to give it, to offer it. It's within us. The walk we're on is literally a walk in faith. It's coming into alignment with that faith. It exists within you, the faith does. It's interactive with you, the absolute is. Whatever you can give to it, whatever you dedicate to it, you'll feel it as you go. The last day that I walked, finally, you know, waiting all this time, when are you going to tell me to stop? But it was fine. I'm just serving the Lord, so I'll keep going. February 9th of last year. February 9th of last year, I was told, words were this simple. Okay, that's it. The walk is over. Okay, that's it. The walk is over. That day, Prema, who sits out there, the Yoga for Peace, our lead, was donated to the ashram. I went back to the ashram and served and was given the keys. So I had committed myself to go wherever I was asked to go, to offer whatever I could, offer my heart, offer support and impact, to offer the experiences and the teaching and the masters to the extent that I can. And so now I travel with that. Faith is the faith in self, high self. Faith is the faith in the absolute. What I want to share in closing is that it is your own true nature. And that if you'll take the law, don't expect yourself to have absolute faith. You asked such a beautiful question, dear, about starting the walk requires faith. And I said, yes, some. But not absolute. But if we lean into it, if we lean into what life gives us, and we just draw on whatever we've got, and do our best to honor God and to honor the highest within us, then we'll be given the next steps. That's the experience I see. That's the experience of the masters as well. And offer that as inspiration. God bless you. Journeys. We're all on these amazing journeys, just amazing. Amazing stories with people. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrows, but if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'd understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me. When you're not strong, I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. Oh, it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. If there is a load you have to bear that you can't carry, I'll ride up the road. I'll share your load if you just call me.
Lean on me.
When you're not strong, I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Somebody to lean on. Somebody to